chapter 11. You see the title of this message this morning is Suffering Affliction. And so, I know that many of you here today have never suffered from affliction. This may be new to you. I'm sure none of you have ever had to suffer or endure a trial or go through a mild tribulation. That would be nice if that were the case, correct? But that is not the case. We are called to suffer. We are to learn how to suffer through these afflictions, and how do we get through these afflictions? I cannot imagine one who has no
Savior. The Savior's there, but they have not accepted. But I cannot imagine one who goes through the
trials of life, the heartaches of life, and has no support. Family support, sure. Friend support, sure. Could you imagine going through life, you as a believer who sits here today, just for a moment, try to think about how it would really be for you to go through life without Christ. It's impossible. The scripture that we're going to look at today is going to speak of the faith of Moses, which is what we've spoken on, or what I've spoken to you about over the last several weeks, is the faith by faith. Of course, unintentionally, back at the beginning, or third week or so, I guess, of April, I spoke on through faith. And so as I was thinking and looking at the scriptures, moments through faith, it led me to the Holy Spirit.
Led me to by faith. Here we are in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're almost at the very end of Hebrews chapter 11. We've been studying it since verse 1. And there's only one more section that we're going to cover. And we'll cover that when I come back the first Sunday of July. And we'll conclude chapter 11. As I said, it was unintentional, but it turned out to be very intentional. I've shared with you before that there's some Sundays where I don't know what I'm going to preach the following Sunday until maybe sometime Wednesday, Thursday, or even on a Friday. But over the last 6 to 8 weeks, I have known God has delivered me this message all through Hebrews chapter 11. And if things don't change, I hope to preach through Hebrews chapter 12 after we conclude 11. But so many times in our lives, we don't adhere to God's voice. We don't adhere to His direction. We don't know how to suffer through affliction. We can come here to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday, or come to here on Vacation Bible School week, and we're here the minute the doors are open, and when the door's closed. But we still oftentimes do not know how to really suffer through affliction by faith. And that's no one's fault but our own. If you're truly a child of God, you have the ability to come unto Christ, to give Him everything, every problem that you have. And we find, at least I do, I know to give Him the problem. I know that there's going to be sufferings. But I want the affliction to end immediately. And unfortunately, that's not the case. Suffering through affliction takes great faith. Takes great patience to endure. And we're going to read about that today, looking at the life of Moses. And I could go and tell you the entire story of Moses, and I would be telling you things that you already know. But we are going to revisit some of the life that Moses lived in the days of old, because it is important that we understand the faith that he truly carried and exemplified it throughout his life. But it's through faith and it is by faith that you are here today. And when I mean here, I don't mean necessarily here as in Sandhill Baptist Church. I mean here, life. You have faith in Christ because of life itself, life eternal. And I hope that you want to continue to manifest that life within you, to make it grow, life eternal. And so what I want us to focus on is just really wrapping our minds around the word faith. And I know that I have said this word to you many times over the last several weeks, but I feel that it's imperative that you understand and know that it is by faith that you can have life everlasting. We cannot see the hand of God, not physically see, but I'm sure many of you, maybe even today, have felt the hand of God in your life today. You felt His presence, maybe as a song was sung, or a song being played, or maybe through a prayer. By faith, we know He lives. But today's message is really no different, because what I want us to really do is just discover the importance of why we must hold fast to the faith. And I asked this question to you all a couple of years ago now, I think two, I believe it was, and I asked you to tell me maybe or say one of your favorite Bible stories or Bible characters, and I remember many of you were saying different names, and I think Moses' name was one that was spoken of. And I imagine that all of us could share our favorite story here today, and we may would all share a common story together. But as we're going to see here today in our verses in chapter 11, Moses was the epitome of faith. From the very beginning of his birth, his very life, to the day that he drew his last breath, his life was a complete characteristic example of what faith is all about. And so at this time, we're going to look at the scripture that's before you today, verses 23 through 29, and remain seated as I read, but just follow along as I read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Now, you may note, very interesting in these verses that we read, there were occasions where the pronoun he was capitalized, and there were occasions where the pronoun he was not capitalized. And so looking at verse 24, for example, says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, okay, now look down at verse 25, it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. But see, he says here in verse 27, for he says, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The him is capitalized, the H is capitalized. So therefore, Moses knew the one who was invisible is the one who's ultimately in control. And that's what you and I must understand. God is in control. He will always be in control. Whether you choose to adhere to his commandments, whether you choose to believe in who he says he is still in control and always will be. Moses, even though he initially did not want to place his faith and trust in God, he learned immediately how quickly important it was to serve God. Moses' life from birth to death was characterized by faith. If you would, turn to Deuteronomy 34. And I want to read that with you and you follow along, because this is really important that we see the life that Moses lived. Verses 5 through 12. And we'll go back to Hebrews chapter 11 in a moment. Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 through 12. It says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley. God buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. Now listen to this next portion. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. So Moses was in great health at the age of 120. But God chose to take him. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and the mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him being Joshua, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Now, that's important. That in itself is a message. Does God know you face to face? Do you know God face to face? Do you have that very relationship just as Moses did? We know that we can't see him face to face here on this earth, but you can still have a deep, intimate, personal relationship with God and know him face to face. And all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent to him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all his servants and in all his land. These are all the examples of what Moses did for his people and Moses' faith in God. And it says, by all that mighty power and the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Moses did mighty and great things. But how did he do it? By faith. This was the only way that he could lead God's chosen people through the suffering and through the affliction of life. God called Moses out. God answered. Because God knew that Moses was a man of great faith, or would be a man of great faith, but Moses in return had to recognize it. Moses had to cry out and say, God, I need you. I need you to give me that faith. I need you to give me a helper. We know that he did pass on his brother Aaron to be his helper. But at the same time, Moses knew that he had to require on his faith in God and God alone. In Hebrews 3:5, it says, and Moses indeed was faithful in all of his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. And this is where we are today. These are things that are spoken afterward. We are after Moses. We saw the faith that he exemplified. And here we are now in present day, and we need to exemplify the exact same faith. And the only way that you can do that is by having a face-to-face relationship with God, heart-to-heart, knowing him and him knowing you. God knows us, but do we know him? We always speak of Moses' faith. But I want to take a glance at verse 23 once again in Hebrews chapter 11. There's something very interesting that is mentioned there in that very first verse that we've read together this morning. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. Now, how many of you can recall the story that was taught to you as a child of Moses' parents? Not much is ever really mentioned of them, is there? We know that Moses was hidden, but there's not much given about Moses' parents. But Moses' parents saw fit to hide the son. The first thing that we see here is they were not scared of the commands of the king, because you recall what the command was of the king was. He wanted to kill all the newborn baby boys. He wanted to eradicate. So Moses' parents, not being scared of what the king had said, instead of allowing their child to be killed, they decided to take it upon themselves, but also, little did they know, by faith in God, hide their son so that he could live. Just as Jesus was the chosen one, Moses was the chosen one of the Old Testament to carry out, to deliver God's people. And as I said, I didn't really know much about Moses' parents, so I did a little research, and I found some very interesting information about Moses' parents. Moses' mom was Jochebed, and she was the daughter of Levi. Moses' father was Amram, and he was the son of Korath, or Koth. Now here's the interesting part of his mother and father. Korath was also a son of Levi, as was Jochebed. So Moses' father was married to his aunt. That is where we receive Moses and Miriam and Aaron. And so I found that to be very interesting because, see, that in itself did not go with the Levitical laws which were given. But the laws had not quite been given, had they? They had not been established yet. But see, the point is, that's kind of a messed up situation, isn't it? Could any of you here today imagine marrying your aunt? I can tell you now, I wouldn't even think of it. But could you imagine that? That's a messed up situation. And so the point being is that it shows us that Moses came from a pretty odd background. But what did God do? He used him. Every one of us sitting here today come from odd backgrounds, different backgrounds, hard situations, hard life. Things didn't always go your way. Maybe you didn't have the perfect home growing up and you didn't really know the right way or the wrong way. You just kind of went. But any of us can be a Moses if we learn who God is. That's why you and I have a very important responsibility. Many people are not going to get to hear about this God. Many people don't understand what God is all about. Many people in their minds have this idea that he's just this God who reigns for power and for glory for him and doesn't do anything else in return. That couldn't be further from the truth. He does reign for glory. He does reign for power. Oh, you think about all the blessings that he's poured into your life. He deserves that glory. He deserves that power. He is the God of all gods. There is no one else like him. He is the great I am. That's what he told Moses. He said, you go tell the Pharaoh that I am sent you. And he is the I am, and there will be no one like him. So Moses came from a very interesting background, but yet God could use him. And it was also very interesting to see that his parents knew that they needed to protect Moses. Now, one thing that I couldn't find, and if you find any other information, please let me know, but there was nowhere that I could really find that it showed how faithful his mom and dad were to God. Of course, they had heard of God, and they probably practiced the rituals of worshiping God, no different than what you and I do, but there really was no true relationship there with God. They may have had some faith, and it may have teeter-tottered back and forth, but they didn't have grounded faith in God as you and I are to have, nor the grounded faith that Moses, their son, developed. But they knew that they had to protect him because so many children were being murdered because the king, the Pharaoh, he didn't want those Israelites to grow and become strong because if they were, they may would overtake him and run him out of his throne. So the best way to do that was to kill the babies that were born, hiring midwives to come in, and as the babies were born, if it was a boy, to kill it. If it was a girl, let it live. So Moses, we know, was hidden. So whether the parents of Moses realized what they were doing was in the act of God, they were still doing the work of the Father. And how true is that with you and I today? We don't see the hand of the Father upon us, but he is always organizing. He is always working in our lives, using things to bring him honor and glory, putting you in places that will open your eyes to see the need of another, to see an opportunity to present the gospel. Or maybe you are here because you need the gospel today and you need to turn your life over to Christ. God's hand is always upon you, orchestrating, moving in and through us when we don't even realize it. One thing that I want to point out to you this morning is that it says that Moses was a beautiful child. But what that word beautiful means is extraordinary. It wasn't necessarily beautiful as when you look upon a newborn baby and say, oh, that's a beautiful baby. The word actually means extraordinary. So Moses' mom and dad, when they would look upon his face, they could see there was something different about this baby's face. He was extraordinary. God had created him to do extraordinary things, from very unordinary circumstance to extraordinary things. So they saw something different in their face. And of course, you and me and anybody who's had a child, a grandbaby, we can look at that face and we know when we see it in our minds, there's no baby as beautiful as this baby ever will be. And there's that old other saying too that says that's only a face that a mother could love. But I think here we see an extraordinary face upon Moses. And why? Because God was interacting even as a baby. So the parents hid him. They put him away to fulfill God's plan. But go back to the murders of those babies, the constant murdering of these baby boys. That you want to talk about suffering affliction. Think about the lives that the Israelites lived as they were in bondage. They had to endure suffering affliction. You and I have to endure nothing like this, but at the same time, we've been called to suffer. We've been called to battle through the afflictions of life, to endure. Acts 7:20 says, at this time Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. There was a purpose for Moses' life. And this takes us to verses 24 through 26, Hebrews 11. And this is what we've already read this, but we learned just how faithful Moses was to God. And what's so important here is that Moses chose to suffer the affliction with the people of God, rather enjoy the luxuries of what the Pharaoh could give him. Every day you and I are given into various temptations. We give into it. And it's not always because we really want to give in, but it's because we settle. Because it's easy to give in. Because it takes work to be a Christian. Don't you agree? It takes a lot of hard work and determination to follow the ways of the Lord than to follow the ways of man. It's a hard task. We settle. This past Wednesday, we talked about the importance of applying God's word to our lives. And you don't have to turn here, but I'm going to read to you Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. And the gist behind this scripture is that the Israelites, as you who were in prayer meeting Wednesday, you have already heard this, and you probably already knew it beforehand, but the Israelites were told to put the word of God on their forehead, to wear the word of God on their wrist, to put the word of God on the doorpost as a constant reminder of who God is and why they are who they are. And so I think about how we settle in life, how we just give in to the ways of the world. And the reason why we just settle, because it's easy, and the other reason why we just settle, because we do not do what I'm going to read to you right now. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Listen to verse 5. This is the most important part. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Now, could you imagine if we did that? We wouldn't have to settle. We would be with Christ because we know that's where he is. And you know that if you believe in him, he lives within you. But sometimes we forget and we settle for the things of this world. It says, and these words which I command you today, they shall be in your heart. It says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and to the gates. That's what we've got to do. This is what allows us to suffer through the afflictions of life. When we literally live the word of Christ daily, he's there. The suffering will only be for a little while. Moses believed that his God was promising far more than what the king could offer. I mean, can you imagine what was really in front of Moses' eyes? He literally had everything the world had to offer. But yet by faith, he wanted to reside in the Lord. And so this question I want to ask you today. How many of you would really give up the luxuries of life to suffer the afflictions that are set before you? That would be difficult. I don't really care how grounded you are in God. If the opportunity was ultimately presented to you that you could literally have all the money in the world, go to any of the most beautiful or fancy islands of the world or resorts of the world, if you could have that moment, how quickly would many of us jump on it? But not Moses. He could have, but that wasn't part of God's plan. God knew that Moses would live by faith. That is not part of God's plan for your life. He knows how hard it is for you to choose flesh or spirit, but it doesn't have to be difficult. By faith, you can succeed through Christ. That is his ultimate desire for you. I love how it says in this scripture to suffer affliction with God's people. And, you know, as I've said before, I don't personally know all of you. I know you by name. But unfortunately, we must be honest. We don't all have a personal relationship one with another. We're church family, but we don't have that personal deep connection. We've got the Christ connection, which is far greater than anything, but to really be on a personal level, we really need to come to know each other better. But I would hope and pray that you all would be able to say this for each one who's here today, that you would much rather come here and suffer affliction with God's people than enjoy the luxuries of what's out there. We think of sin, and sometimes sin can be really fun to begin with. It seems harmless. But we know if you tarry too long, you will get so far engulfed in the sin that you really can't turn back. It may make it very difficult for you to recover. And that's what I think about with Moses. Think about all that he left behind to follow God. How willing are you and I to leave behind to follow God? But by faith, Moses followed the ways of the Lord. Listen to Psalm 16, verse 11. And by the way, I'll be preaching from Psalm 16 tonight. And I would love for you to come back, and we're going to talk about the importance of this verse. But listen to Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." That's what it's all about. How many of you are really willing to allow God to show you the path of life? And I don't mean earthly life. I mean the life that tells us right here, because you will never experience fullness of joy until you see Christ. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Think about how many individual people may think they have joy here on this earth, may think they experience joy day after day, but no one will receive the fullness of joy unless they know God. And it says it's forevermore. It will never run out. To have such boldness and faith as Moses as he forsook Egypt, he had no fear from the wrath of the king, and you and I should have no fear of what this world has to give us. Don't worry about who's in the Oval Office. Don't worry about who your governor is. Don't worry about who your mayor is, because none of that's it's insufficient to what you and I are going to enjoy, because we know God. It's important. We pray for our leaders, as we know, but don't let that be something that just breaks you down and makes you feel as though you have no hope. You have God, you have hope. Moses was able to endure because of his faith. You will be able to endure because of faith. The first time Moses faced Pharaoh, he did so in fear, great fear. But when he stood before him after 40 years of wandering in the desert, his decision to leave Egypt was nothing less than an act of faith. Now that's important, because for 40 years, Moses didn't really know what to do. He knew who to follow. He knew who to listen to, but he didn't see the end. He didn't see the point. And so maybe you're sitting here today and you don't understand what God wants you to do. And you don't see the point. You don't see the need to always be in church. You don't see the need to always pray. You don't see the need to read his word. But God has a plan. And just as he used Moses, he will use you. God used a broken, he used a molded Moses, and he made him after his will. And as I read that this morning, I could not help but think of this song, and I want to read it to you. It's "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." And I want you to listen to these verses. It says, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay." That's what Moses was. Moses was the clay, and God was the potter. And he was allowing himself to be molded after God's will. Moses said, "Have thine own way, Lord." You know, many times we sing this song, and the words are eloquent, they're beautiful, but do we really want God to have his own way in our lives? It says, "Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still." Can you imagine how Moses had a, he was yielded, he was still, he was waiting. It says, "Have thine own way, search me and try me, master today, whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow." And I want to leave the last verse. It says, "Have thine own way, Lord. Hold o'er my being absolute sway." That means all of your body, your whole being, your whole soul given unto God. "Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me." This is how Moses felt. This is how he lived. Christ only always. You may feel that you're going through that hard time now. Perhaps you even feel you've been wandering through the desert. And let's be honest with ourselves. There's times in our lives where we feel like we're just wandering. We don't feel as there's any hope. We wonder what God's ultimate plan is for us. And sometimes it's easy for you just to walk away and say, "I'll figure it out later." Come unto God. Pray to God. "God, show me the way that you'll have me to go. Father God, instill in me the faith that you instilled in Moses, that you gave to David, that you gave to your only begotten son, that he knew that when he drew his last breath that you would raise him from the grave." That is faith. This takes us to verse 28. It says, "By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them." Moses knew God would do what he said. As God made the very promise to pass over the house, he told him, he said, "Sprinkle the blood of a lamb on your doorpost." and God passed over, sent the angel over. If there was blood on that doorpost, we know that those children were saved. But those who did not adhere, the firstborn was taken away. But I love how God said to use the blood of a lamb for this Passover, and how we can look at the life of Jesus Christ as the lamb and gave us the ultimate Passover. Moses was faithful. He listened to God. He brought men and women and children out of bondage. Jesus was faithful. He listened to God, his heavenly Father, and he can bring whosoever, as Brother Chris has read this morning from John 3:16, so that all will know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's the Lamb, Jesus Christ, that's who he died for. In verse 29, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Now, as I asked you at the beginning of this message, what was your favorite Bible story? And this has always been my favorite story. I've always loved the parting of the Red Sea because, number one, I've always been mesmerized by water and the power that water has. And here we see one of the greatest miracles of all, the parting of the Red Sea. Now, I want to tell you something. You may already know this, but in case you don't, I want you to listen. Most scholars feel that when this parting took place, that as these individuals passed through the Red Sea, that the walls ranged from anywhere from 60 feet high to 200 feet high. Because understand this, the Red Sea was not a flat surface. It wasn't like walking down that aisle. This was a sea. And so the depths of the sea varied. So anywhere through this wall, through this parting they walked, the water was 60 to 200 feet high. Now could you imagine Moses looking at you saying, let's go? I mean, could you imagine? First of all, the winds had to come blowing through. An easterly wind had to come blowing through because we know the power of wind. We know the power of water. The wind in itself parted the water. So it wasn't like just a little peaceful walk. There was a breeze blowing through those waters. And if you've ever been in an alleyway when the wind's blowing, that heightens the wind, the velocity. And here they are walking through this Red Sea, because Moses said, hey, this is what we've got to do. You want to be saved? Follow me. But here's something else that's very interesting. As children, you recall the story being told to you. And, you know, as a child, I do recall. I always thought it might have been 10, 15, 20 people, maybe 300, 400 at the most. But most theologians feel that there was at least 600,000 men, 600,000 women, 2.4 million children, and all their livestock, their horses, their buggies, their belongings. So most people feel there was at least anywhere from 3 to 6 million people that had passed through the sea. So this wasn't something that just happened overnight. It was a journey, a faith journey. Could you imagine that? Moses had faith. They'd already been guarded by the cloud. They'd already been guarded by the fire. So they followed along. And Moses took them to dry land. And then when that last foot, I imagine as soon as that last foot stepped across, that last millionth one that come across, the Red Sea come back down on top of the Egyptians to never live again. By faith, you and I can walk through that very same Red Sea by faith. Your life today may be the parting of the Red Sea, figuratively. But you have faith in God, he will take you to the other side. You may not experience that ultimate joy until God calls you home. God gives us blessings here on this earth. God gives us many great things. But the ultimate joy will come when we see our Jesus face to face. Just as Moses chose to suffer affliction with God's people, you and I must make the same choice. Many of us don't like to hear the word suffer or the word affliction. But if you have the power of the living God living within you, those words mean nothing. You can survive. You will survive by faith. Take pleasures in the suffering and the afflictions that God puts forth before you, because it tests your faith. You walk through the fires of trials of life by faith, and when you come through the other side, you are burned. All the bad is burned away, and you're left with the good, and that's what God's intentions are. We walk by faith, not by sight. 1 Peter 5:10 says, But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, it says, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. Suffering through affliction. It may seem as though there is no end in sight, but there is. God's got his hand on you, Brother Gary. God's had his hand on you, Amy. He'll never leave you. He's not going to forsake you. God has his hand on every one of you who sit here today. If you called upon the name of the Lord, if you don't have a relationship with him, if you really don't know him as your Lord and personal Savior, you can. You can live this very same life by faith. No longer just hearing about it, but living it, because you believe in the one true King. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, God, and I do thank you for being with us today, God, and always providing for us and always holding our hand, God, when we walk through the valleys of the shadow of death. God, like I said, and God, you know every man, woman, boy, and girl's heart here today, God. Many of us are enduring things that we've kept to ourselves. We haven't maybe shared with many individuals, but God, we know that you know. But Lord, I simply pray to you this day that whoever is here suffering this affliction, whatever it may be, God, let them give it to you. Father, let them worry no more, knowing that you are the ultimate healer, whether it be a physical ailment, an emotional or mental ailment, God, or maybe just a spiritual ailment. Father, we know that you are the great physician. You can heal all and you will cure all. All we simply need to do is recognize you. So, Father, I pray today as this altar here is before our people, your people, may an individual come down today and just pray to you, God, giving their life back to you and saying, have thine own way. Father God, we do love you and we praise you. And I just thank you for this opportunity that you have given us today. In your heavenly name, I do pray. Amen.